This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Legacies shape who we are, but who's shaping them? In the new season of Black History Year, we're breaking down the meaning and power behind the personal, familial, and systemic legacies that define our world. We're diving deep into how political and cultural forces have historically molded Black communities and what it means for our future. Join us on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts for a new season of Black History Year. Let's shape our collective memory and legacy together.
Can't get enough of the fan in the morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
Welcome to the post-game podcast. No Jerry today. He'll be back tomorrow for the warm-up program. The Eddie Scazzeri joins me. Good morning, Eddie.
Good morning, and hello, podcast people and YouTube person.
Oh, yeah. So yesterday, I think I saved a bird yesterday.
You did?
Yeah. This was either a pigeon or a seagull or another bird of that size.
Okay.
I was where I park my car after when I get home. I come out of a gate, and I have to turn the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And as I turn the corner on the sidewalk there is a hawk that has a bird pinned down, and there are feathers around. And the hawk sees me and I think thinks I'm going to come for its bird. So it takes off with the bird in its claws. And as it lifted off, the bird escaped and took off.
Nice.
And the hawk went after it, but then I just saw the bird on its own, and I think it made it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Little does the hawk know, I would have been scared if the hawk came after me.
Of course you would.
So I just got lucky that it didn't come for me. It could have picked me right up and swung me out over the ocean. But yeah, I kind of felt like, all right, I got one for that side of nature.
Yes. But, you know, the hawk is just doing what hawks do.
Yeah. Hawks are going to hawk.
They are.
But just for a moment, and now every time I come outside and I see those feathers, I go, hero. There's a hero that lives here.
Did you call News 12?
I didn't even think to call News 12.
You should have.
Man, I am slipping. Just if you guys are looking for a story, I just came around the corner. I scared a hawk, and it let go of a bird. I saved a bird.
How big was the hawk? Like twice the size of the...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was huge. But it was weird when it tried to fly away. It was almost like the bird that it was trying to eat was so heavy, it was struggled to, unless he didn't get a good grip because he saw me and he wanted to get away real quick.
He was all in a hurry. He got flustered.
Yeah, he got flustered because I came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
He was not expecting me, a big man of my stature.
Eddie. Yeah, and if you had whimsy, forget about it.
Yeah, right. That would have been, man, she would have been like,
she
wouldn't have done anything though.
She wouldn't have reacted at all?
I don't think so.
Really?
I don't think she definitely wouldn't have tried to go after the hawk or the bird. She just, no, she would have.
When the mockingbirds dive at you, does she react or?
No, she does not. They dive at her butt and she does not know what's happening. Yeah.
Do they ever make contact?
Yeah, they've made contact or they've hit her butt and she's wondering like, what was that? But does not understand. Even when the geese have come after her. This has happened a couple times in mating season,
yes.
Or when the geese lay their eggs.
When they're nesting, yeah.
which I think happens. I actually Googled this last year. It was like May or June. It actually happened in later June last year. But they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not even, she's not paying any attention to them. And they are very protective. They'll come across the street sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is crazy.
They make that little hiss sound.
Yeah. And then they just go. The one came up, I was, I guess it was protecting, I guess they lay their eggs, their goose eggs, on the edge of the land, underneath the ledge of the land where it meets the water, I believe. So this, when I went over there, there was only a goose in the water. So I thought, okay, we're fine. We're just going to go along this path.
And this is Fisher Lake?
Fletcher Lake.
Fletcher.
And it saw us, and it's... flew. It got out of the water and flew to come get us because I guess we were too close to the eggs.
And is there a, like a little lake or inlet at the other end of town?
Yes,
there
Sylvan is. Lake.
Okay,
in both of those in Bradley Beach, New Jersey. Yeah. So, but yeah, I'm a friend to the birds, I guess.
You are.
I did also almost choke today. The last segment of the last commercial break, I was walking eating cashews, and I get the large cashews from Costco.
Mm-hmm.
They're very large, full cashews. Only the best, greatest cashews. And as I was eating a cashew, our boss asked how it was going. I said, oh, it's pretty good. And he walked past, and then as I was talking, it went down my throat and just sat there.
Wrong one, yeah.
And I tried to go to bring it up, and it was not. And then I thought, okay, now I'm going to have to swallow and hope it doesn't get lodged. And I swallowed and I made it.
Okay.
But it was tight. And as you had pointed out when I came to tell you, Jerry's not out there.
He is not.
And Jerry, we know for a fact, Ken Heimlich.
Yes. Well, and you said Boyle was out there.
Pat Boyle was out there. He's a strong man. He could have helped me out.
Yeah, but he would have snapped a rib.
No doubt.
Yeah.
If he'd have Heimlich me, I'd have been... That I would have called News 12.
Yeah.
I got Heimlich'd by this guy, and yesterday I saved a bird from a hawk.
And if you would have tried to, like, Heimlich yourself over the one of the chairs out there, they have wheels, so that wouldn't have worked.
I know. I really wasn't sure what my game plan would have been, because Pat Boyle was out there. Ryan Hurley, our boss, had just walked past me, so I guess I could have maybe run down there. Mm-hmm. But I would have went for Pat Boyle. He was over by the microwave.
Mm-hmm.
Which made me then, I had previously asked Pat Boyle, we have talked about Pat Boyle's eyeglasses.
Right.
They're large.
Yes, they are.
They're large gold frame eyeglasses.
Yeah, like the, who was it, Steve Allen, the comedian from like...
Long time ago?
60s, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that, or like the Harry Carey.
Yes.
Yeah.
People nowadays say, even though this is a dated reference now too, Robert De Niro in Casino... Mm-hmm. Wears these big glasses. They look like that. So I know Pat Boyle has had these glasses for a while. This guy, Rami, who works at WFN, is a very nice listener of the podcast. He just got glasses, I believe for the first time. And he got the big glasses.
Maybe that's back in?
That's what I'm wondering, because I just ordered glasses in the like sort of rectangular shape that I get, and I'm thinking, did I get outdated glasses?
Well,
or is this only for younger guys?
Right, that's what I was going to say.
The big glasses.
Right.
I tried Googling this, believe it or not,
and
I didn't. It seems like all shapes and sizes now are interesting for people.
Okay,
but do you think you would go with? Do you have big glasses when you need you
no.
read glad with glasses? Sometimes
I wear glasses.
You do
for driving.
Oh, okay, for driving.
At night, or if I'm driving somewhere that I'm not familiar with.
Okay.
Because I have to be able to read the signs. I don't need glasses for reading or up close or looking at the computer. But for nighttime driving, 100% I need them.
And do you have big glasses like we're discussing or no?
They're kind of like John Lennon glasses. Not that quite that small.
So much smaller.
But yeah. I think they fit my... face, I think.
Yeah.
I don't have a large head.
Yeah. I think you also, if you're wearing them all day long, you have to be pickier about what glasses you get just because you're committed to them all day. and Pat Boyle when I was asking him about these large glasses, and I said, you know, Rami also just got a pair of large glasses. He then says to me, you know what would look good on you? Those Steve Jobs glasses.
See, I'm not familiar.
Those are tiny, I believe. Okay. I said, round. I don't think, yeah. I said, I don't know if I could pull that off with a bald head.
That's like the Lenin glasses.
Yeah. And he goes, yeah, you would look like a guy who's invented some tech.
And I think the Lenin glasses were not like a conscious choice by him. But when they used to play in Germany, West Germany at the time, they had like free eyeglasses for people, even people who weren't citizens. And that was what they gave out, that standard issue glasses. So I believe that's how they became known as Lenin glasses.
Yeah, about that. So think of how many different people wore those glasses prior to him.
Mm-hmm.
And they're still called the Lenin glasses.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't think the round glasses would work for me.
Mm.
I don't know.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The other day I was talking to you about, I wanted to know if you knew anything about quantum computing.
Mm-hmm.
Because this pops up on Joe Rogan podcast a lot. And this is the way he explains it. And this does not make any sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
He claims that quantum computing and quantum computers are solving mathematical equations and things super quickly by using computers that are in another universe.
Well, that I know that has been, I read a science fiction novel or listened to it where that was the premise, where the reason that they could work so fast is that in all these other alternate universes, parallel alternate universe.
Yeah.
They could somehow bridge that gap. And so now you're using the computing capacity of an infinite amount of computers. I do not believe that, I think that is just fiction.
Yeah, because how could they communicate with a computer that we don't know exists?
Well, yes. And even the existence of other universes is a theory, but it's not anything that there are people on both sides of the argument. It's not anything that has been proven.
But there are people that believe it is,
yes,
that quantum computing is using somehow, it's harnessing
the power. Well, I don't know if there's any quantum computer scientists who hold that theory. My friend's son is he has a physics degree, and he's now, as part of his doctorate, is studying quantum computing. And is working on things and all this. And I, after reading that novel, I asked his dad to ask him if quantum computing would prove the existence of parallel universes, because I had that same idea in my head that it, you know, they could somehow, you know, contact these other or use these other computers or all get together. And yeah, the response was like, no. And it was like, it wasn't just a no, it was like, no, you idiot, kind of a thing.
But then why is that the belief of quantum computers?
Well, I don't know. It may be Joe Rogan's belief and maybe some others, but I don't know if in the quantum computing world, the where the scientists are working on it, that is that belief is held. I do know that I don't think we're still, the use of quantum computers is still very limited. I think it's very hard to get the materials you need and the state they have to be in to build something that could handle things like a regular computer does. Certainly when they assign this task, like they've used quantum computers to solve all these age-old mathematical problems, which is what Rogan is referring to, and that has been done. But in terms of a large-scale quantum computer, I don't believe that has happened yet. And it's, I don't know if it's in the foreseeable future, with maybe like within, you know, 3 years, but you know, you could get a breakthrough any time. And one of the fears is that with quantum, if it becomes a thing, that no encryption would be safe, because their capacity, if they get one that's big enough and powerful enough, is so much greater than a regular computer.
Yeah, that is a fear of mine, that like everything we have as far as our money, our savings, mm-hmm. our retirements, all that stuff, right? They're really held by a handful of companies. Mm-hmm. Vanguard, Fidelity, Charles Schwab.
Right, you know what I mean? And it's just on paper. It doesn't...
Yeah, it's just on paper.
Not then, like we have this money somewhere sitting there.
Yeah, so what if one of these quantum computers comes along from sure. another country or something?
Or another universe.
Or another universe.
Right.
And they take all, wipe out all mm-hmm. of our stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not good.
No, no. Well, it's just one of these other things that we're pushing towards, and we really don't know if ultimately it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah.
Just like AI.
Right. Yeah, I still, it's funny, because we had asked on here when we were talking about AI, are there any, well, you know, if for people listening, if are you using AI? How are you using it? And one gentleman wrote back to me, and he laid out what he, specific things he has used AI for. And a lot of it was the same things that you and I would use Google for,
mm-hmm.
but it just looks like that it summarizes a bunch of websites. Instead of you, like he said, my wife and I want to go to, I'll make up a Germany. What are the, where should we go and what to, and then it gives him this list of things, which he could have gotten by going on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess he would have had to have gone through so many different websites
to
really...
Yeah, he would have to page through 20 different websites.
Yeah, and this is different than that. Like, he even said, oh, I'm if you want to try, like, oh, I want to try a vegan diet for a week, can you give me recipes? You know, which you definitely could get online.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess it spits it out for you quickly so you don't have to do all the research and... go through all the individual websites.
Right, it summarizes things.
Yeah, it's like right now, I feel like we're in the summarizing stage.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure it will get us to do more things, I guess.
Yeah. I who knows what the hell AI is going to be.
It does feel like, because I've heard a couple different AI people interviewed, it feels like the driverless cars is a very big thing. For AI. And then Boomer had brought up how they're doing it in San Francisco already with this one company. Mm-hmm. They're like Ubers, but Wemos, I think they're called. I think Boomer said they were. But like that seems to be like what they're, all the companies are trying for now, to get the driverless cars.
Now, do you see yourself doing that? Not getting in a, what if you're in another city and you get in a driverless Uber, but
yeah,
owning a car that drives for you.
It did seem interesting. I don't think I'd relax enough to. I feel like I'd probably be, I might even be more tense. Like, I'm pretty relaxed driving.
Sure.
But I think if I wasn't in control, I might
right.
be
Should I
less
take
relaxed.
Over? Should I take yeah. over? What about now? Yeah, I don't like it. I like driving.
Yeah.
So I don't see myself, as long as I am physically able to drive and have the reaction times necessary to keep myself and other people safe.
Right.
I don't see myself doing that. Now, if I get to the point where I can safely drive and that technology is available, it certainly would be a desirable thing, because then I would have the freedom and mobility that a car gives you, which a lot of older people don't have.
Right.
They have to take rideshare, they have to take Uber, they have to rely on a family member. But if it's, you know, if I'm in that situation, then I would probably go for it.
They say that's a very big psychological moment in a man's life,
mm-hmm.
when he can no longer drive.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know that bothered my father. Like, well, we were like, I don't think you should be driving anymore.
Right, and my dad and my father-in-law also.
Yeah.
It's like a big psychological thing.
Yeah, because that's your, when you first get a car, man, that is freedom. You want, because when you were a kid, you want to go to the mall, someone's going to have to drive you.
Right.
But now if you want to go to McDonald's, you want to go to the mall, you do whatever the hell you want.
Right. And unless you live in an area where everything you want and need is right there for you in terms of like shopping or what have you, which a lot of people don't, then you kind of need a car.
Right. Otherwise, it's like, I guess the psychological punch to the mouth is what? That you're no longer in control of.
Or you're just, that's where another thing that you can't do.
Yeah.
That, you know, you've done since you were 17 years old.
Yeah. I got to say, my father, he's 80, he was born in 44, so he's 81.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many years now he hasn't been driving. It's not a long time, maybe 5 years, 4 years. I don't recall a guy ever getting in a car accident.
Mm.
That's
pretty good.
Long run.
Well, you obviously weren't around for his very early years.
Right, right. Yeah, who knows what went on. He sounded like a crazy driver early on. He had like muscle cars and was like a nut.
Yeah, a lot of young men are.
Yeah. But like, man, some people go a lot of miles without getting into a car accident. Other people get in a car accident every,
Yeah, a lot.
7 to 9 months. They're hitting into something. So I always feel fortunate when I get to the point where I'm going to get a different car. And go, wow, look how many miles I went. Mm-hmm. I didn't flip this thing.
Yeah.
This thing is still right side up.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Like, have you ever contemplated how many miles you think you've gone?
Without an accident?
Or just in the amount of miles you've gone.
I haven't. I mean, I could probably, it's probably nearing a million, I would
guess. I would think so. Million miles.
And Jerry's over that because of the long haul trips he does for his broadcasting career.
Right, which he did for Columbia.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Yeah, driving up to Cornell, driving up to Dartmouth.
A million miles.
Oh, he's over it for sure.
Yeah, because if you have a car that... you only have to go 100,000 miles 10 times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got your million miles.
Yeah, I might be over it because I'm kind of just thinking of, the cars I've owned as an adult, but then I'm discounting all the cars I had, where I was in college and all. So I actually probably am over a million.
I would think so.
Because I don't, God, I was driving an old 72 Impala when I was in college, that the heat didn't work, the wipers didn't work. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
But it weighed 2 tons, literally.
Yeah, I used to have this Chevy Monza. That was my very first car. And I kept trying to tell my father, like, when it would rain and I'd put the defroster on, the car felt like it was going to stall.
Mm.
He's like, that's impossible. They're not connected. I'm like, I'm telling you, when this car, when I put the defrosters on, it does not want to, like, at a stoplight, it would stay awake, but it was like,
I've in that old Impala, like when I used to stop at a light, I used to have to put it in neutral and rev the engine.
Give so it some gas.
Stall. Oh, it was a mess. And the wipers didn't work. And so I used to, when it rained, I used to pray for it to rain harder because then it would just sheet down and I could see through it. An intermittent rain or a slow rain was worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, what a disaster.
So you had no wipers in that car? Like it just, no. You click the button and nothing happened.
Yeah, it just did not work. And that happened. I drove like that for months.
Did you think maybe I should take this to the mechanic?
And... yeah, probably every time it rained.
Yeah. Next time it rains, I'm definitely taking this in.
But the pouring rain was fine.
Yeah, those old cars, they build character, though, for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes.
When you have to struggle with them.
Yeah, and you have to, like, manipulate things and and play tricks just to get it to not stall out.
Yeah.
Oh, God. What did this? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good time.
And you still have a stick shift to this day.
That one was not. My first stick I got after we were already married, I got it in 93. I got a Ford Ranger pickup.
Oh, nice.
And I learned on that to drive a stick, and that was easier to learn because the shift or the throw is much more exaggerated because it's a truck and it was a larger gear mechanism that was higher up and than a car, and it was easier to learn on that. It was just more exaggerated. It was like a big button phone, if you will.
Yeah. You know what? I learned also on a pickup truck. Mm. I had a 1988 Nissan Hardbody, it was called. Mm. It was a Nissan pickup truck, smaller. But yeah, it was like that big.
Yes, correct.
Big shifter in the middle.
Right. And then the next car, then I drove a Camry, Toyota Camry, was my next stick shift. And that was, you know, it was like a tight little throw. But since I kind of knew what I was doing already, I adapted very quickly.
Yeah.
And they had the Honda Civic Hybrid, and then I have now the Honda Fit.
Honda Fit. Stick shift.
Yeah.
Boom. All right, let's do the warm-up show, Eddie.
All right.
I did that with CeeLo. Jerry will be back tomorrow.
Welcome back, Jerry.
I enjoyed our week of post-game podcasts, as did the listeners.
Yes, but not the viewers.
Not the viewers.
No.
Well, we'll see. We might catch up.
Well, you never know.
We might catch up.
You never know.
Really? We'll see you tomorrow at 5 a.m.